This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
We've got a lot of work to do. We're under no illusions, but to kick 35 goals in 2 weeks is a good sign.
Yeah, to see the Saints family or tribe, you know, with a bit of euphoria about their team's performances, yeah, it's nice to experience it. You know, we're still coming together as a group. It was a year of exploration, but well, they've come to hand relatively quickly on how we want them to play.
Frantic stuff in that those last couple of minutes. You know, how that ball didn't go over the goal line in that last play, and so we're just pleased we got the points.
Tommy, round two of the 2023 AFL season is in the books, and all of the returning coaches are 2-0.
Well, Brad Scott, Ross Lyon, and Alistair Clarkson are all 2-0. The Giants didn't get up over in Perth last night for Adam Kingsley. But it was an incredible round, Rudy. There was controversy with the siren. The lights went out. Essendon, St Kilda, and Sydney all incredibly above Collingwood on the ladder. I guess Collingwood, I haven't checked the markets, are certainly the grand final favourite at the moment, or premiership favourite, if not one of the premiership favourites. And we also had a record crowd. It was the highest attended round two of all time, Rudy. So it's an incredible round of football and lots of discussion points, which we'll get to today.
And speaking of Essendon, as we were, Tommy, you were down in the rooms yesterday after their rousing comeback win over the Gold Coast.
Yeah, it's good to be in the Bombers' rooms. Always good to be in the Essendon rooms after a win. Just some brief notes there. Dyson Heppel was subbed off. He's fine. He just got subbed off. And I think it took him by surprise, according to Brad Scott. Would have taken it well. Zerk Thatcher rolled his ankle. Essendon's not worried about that, Brad says. That's not a high ankle syndesmosis or anything like that. Sam Wiedemann was a toe injury, a late out. He could come back this week. A nice story, Dale Tapping, their forwards coach. He's doing it tough at the moment with an illness, which Essendon has documented, but he's certainly still coaching with success. He shuffled around the forward line, and Kyle Langford kicked 5 goals, keeping in mind, of course, they're missing the likes of Jake Stringer and Wiedemann and a whole bunch of guys like Peter Wright. So great work there from the coaches. Stringer, incidentally, perhaps ready to come back as soon as this week, had 22 touches and 1 goal in 3 quarters of VFL football yesterday, Rudy. So lots to celebrate. I know it's a long road that the Bombers are on. They're going to take their time. But a good couple of rounds for the Bombers and Brad Scott.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As you said, Tommy, plenty to celebrate in round two, but some not great stuff as well. Racism, an issue again.
Yeah, an important issue concerning Jamara Ugal-Hagan. I'll give you a brief update on this today. His mum, Alice, detailed these shocking allegations or suggestions of racism on Facebook yesterday. I won't go into the details, but they're very stark and concerning. There was a message directed at Jamara and also a private message, highly inappropriate one, sent to him. St Kilda, the Bulldogs and the AFL are all working on this together. Simon Lethlin at St Kilda, Marcus Bontempelli, the captain at the Bulldogs, and both spoken today. I'm also speaking to the AFL about this issue today for the news tonight. Jamara is not in at the club today. I think he's been given a day off, which is significant in itself, and it's a hugely concerning issue. But the AFL, St Kilda, and the Bulldogs all working together to try and identify the person that did it. Really, I think it was a person. They've got to work through the vision and those types of things, and hopefully they'll cop a big ban and they can be identified.
This is Tom Brown's News, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Hear it first on Listener.
Richmond had a good away win against Adelaide on Saturday twilight, Tommy, but Dusty Martin was subbed out and there were some other injury concerns perhaps out of the game for the Tigers.
Yeah, some concerns ahead of Friday night. This is massive against Collingwood on Friday night, up to 90,000 fans expected. Dustin Martin, now he was subbed off when the game was sort of in the balance, and Damien Harbick post-match said it was a load issue. Richmond told me yesterday and clarified that he did in fact have a scan. We were there. He had a scan on his leg. I think that's a hamstring. We haven't got an update, but Richmond are training early this afternoon, so we'll have an update as soon as tonight. I think Richmond will be pretty cagey on that one this week. Rudy, it'll be interesting to see what they say in regards to Dusty's availability. Tommy Lynch and Jacob Hopper were also in at scans yesterday. Brody Myercheck, the other injury, wait and see as far as Collingwood's concerned. He was subbed off with a hand injury, albeit it didn't look too bad, but they can be fairly innocuous, those things. He was subbed off on Saturday afternoon, but certainly a huge watch this week on Dusty's availability. It'd have a massive Friday night against the undefeated Tigers and the undefeated Pies.
Now, on the subject of injuries, Tommy, Maxie Gawn, good news relatively in the end that it's not a season-ending ACL, rather 4 to 6 weeks.
So all our listeners would have seen that terrible vision of Gawn looking terribly dejected in the rooms on Friday night up in Brisbane. He spoke this morning. I went to his press conference in at Collingwood. It was in the suburb of Collingwood, not the club. He sort of explained, well, he did feel better afterwards. There was no swelling. So he was positive as far as it not being an ACL. Having said that, they couldn't rule it out, the Melbourne officials in the rooms on Friday night. And you can do tests on the ACL to see if it's been interrupted or broken or injured or whatever you want to call it, Rudy. And he explained this morning, which is interesting, because he's had a couple of ACLs, it means the tests in the rooms they can do aren't determinative in ruling it out. So that's why he came back to Melbourne with a heavy heart on Saturday ahead of this scan. But this was his explanation of his reaction in the rooms on Friday night.
Certainly some of the stuff that I've learnt over my time had made me be able to be strong in that space. Mm. But I still, the vulnerability to the cry, I still had a little tear in the change room. Like it was a big moment that got put on me at round two at a time when you're not expecting that news. It only lasted a couple of seconds and I was able to get back up on my feet. But so it's certainly some tools that I've learned throughout my time has kept me in a good space.
I spoke to Max after that press conference. He's bullish on his return. He doesn't need my advice. I said to him, just take your time, Max. Get it right. He said, yeah, everyone tells me that. But he's hopeful of coming back relatively soon. But I think those things are usually 4 to 6 weeks, according to the Demons.
Every Wednesday, it's Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
It feels like I'm coming out to fight.
Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damian Barrett break down anything and everything AFL. The Midweek Rub. Get it every Wednesday by following Triple M Footy on the Listener app.
All right, Tommy, it's time to get onto the post round two burning questions. Up first, the Bulldogs. Did they perhaps jump the gun when they extended Luke Beveridge's contract?
They're 0-2, Rudy. Bevo spoke post game. He acknowledged that they're down on growth. He acknowledged this is unexpected. I guess from a recruiting perspective, there's no excuses there. They've brought in Lobb, who did miss admittedly on the weekend. But these are some of the concerns. They've kicked 65 points, then 41 points. Listen to Nathan Buckley this morning. Apparently they rank second last in defence and their contested work's not getting the job done at the moment. This was Bevo post game speaking to Mitch Cleary.
Now the players felt like they'd built themselves up for the game, and ultimately, you know, you walk through that corridor at the moment and through our rooms, you know, the players are shattered. We all realise we haven't started the year as our supporters would have expected, playing below our own expectations, which is, you know, quite obvious. So what can I say? Disappointing.
Just a point over the weekend, Rudy, it's natural to discuss the contract status of these guys and why Bevo was extended. In fairness to Bevo and the Bulldogs, and by the way, it's only round two, so the Bulldogs could easily get going, and I hope they do. But just to explain, when Bevo was recontracted, he was in demand late last year. There were four clubs in the coaching market, and I'm quite firm that all of them would have had a degree of interest at some stage in Luke Beveridge. I mean, he won the flag in 2016. He made the grand final in 2021, which is only really 18 or 19 months ago. So he was in demand at the time that the Dogs re-signed him. And as I said, it's only round two.
Now, if you want a burning question, Tommy, here's one that's burnt since about 11 p.m. Saturday night Melbourne time. Did the umps get the North Melbourne Fremantle final call correct?
They did, according to the AFL. I spoke to the AFL about this in detail yesterday, Rudy. The umpires determined that the siren went before the ball went over the line. I asked the AFL whether that's the definition of the end of the game, because I thought the umpires had to put their hands up and also blow the whistle. The AFL say, look, for all practical purposes, it's when the umpire first hears the siren. So there will be some debate this week about whether we need more defined rules on when the end of the game is, because I think that's a bit of a new interpretation that arguably suits this umpiring situation. It was interesting. The AFL released vision from the arc that they get of the incident or the ending yesterday that shows on the vision that the ball hasn't crossed the line when the siren goes off. Having said that, there is a bit of lip sync in that vision and audio, and I'm not in any way suggesting someone's played around with it, but there, I think the explanation there is that basically that, you know, the audio always has a slight difference with the vision. The Fox vision, which I think they showed on the Sunday footy show, shows the siren went off when the ball had crossed the line. But disregarding all that and all the technical stuff, I think the umpires did get it right from a practical perspective. The AFL's ticked off on it. The end of the game now is apparently when the umpires hear the siren. And I think going forward, they might just tweak that rule, because the rule's got a specific clause for when the ball's out on the full. And there's actually a scoring rule, Rudy, where even if the siren's gone and you kick the ball towards the goals, it's actually when it goes over the goals, that would be a valid score. But I think the AFL might just clean up that rule a little bit at the end of the year as it applies to out of bounds deliberately.
Now, Tommy, this one's maybe a little cheeky, but Will Buddy Franklin be able to find his way back into Sydney's forward line, do you reckon?
Yeah, he will. He trained well over the weekend, John Longmire said post-game, and obviously will clearly come back. It's a rally discussion because Logan McDonald kicked 5 goals and Joel Armati kicked 4, Papley, Mills and Heaney all booting 2 each. But I wouldn't read too much into yesterday's game either, Rudy. With the greatest of respect to Hawthorn, they're not the best opposition at the moment. So taking nothing away from Sydney's performance, there will be room for Buddy. He will come back, but it's great that Sydney have got some very good alternatives in his absence. And I'm sure Logan McDonald, Joel Armati and Buddy can all fit in the one side.
That brings us neatly to the next question, Tommy. It's about Hawthorn. Have they cut too deep list-wise?
Well, that's going to be a big discussion point again this week. They're 0-2. They looked uncompetitive again off the back of that loss to Essendon against Sydney yesterday at the SCG. It's hard to watch. It's hard from a viewing perspective. Sam Mitchell's clearly doing the right thing by the team in terms of bottoming out and trying to get as much draft talent in as possible. The test will be whether they can all stick together. Sam Mitchell was asked about the spirit in the group post-game and he's not worried about it at the moment.
Not at all. I think the players after the game, they got an understanding of what happened today, and you know they were quite hard on each other around the spirit, and that they didn't produce it for long enough. And while I've got the players pushing for it, then it's not going to be a concern. I think the group is a spirited group. They're really close. They're all really good friends. They spend a lot of time together, and they, for the most part, they do play for each other. And you know, we haven't seen that come to fruition just yet, but it's 2 rounds into a 23-round season.
Just some insight and a nugget on the Hawks, Rudy. Andy Gower is their new president. Promised to bring all the factions together, the Hawks for Change, the Jeff Kennett group, all those types of things. Andy had COVID, I think, a couple of weeks ago, missed the game. So they had to set this meeting back. But last Thursday, critically, all the factions in a meeting came together at Hawthorn. Andy Gowers acted as the peacemaker. I'm told it was a successful, highly successful meeting, and he's delivered on one of his promises to have a summit at Hawthorn to settle all their differences. The only thing I think that happened during that meeting, which was a bit fiery, is Don Scott got up and gave a bit of honest feedback. But apart from Don voicing his views, which he's entitled to, it was a productive meeting. Apparently, Don had some fairly direct feedback directed to the panel there. But I might get to the bottom of that this week. But anyway, by and large, it was a successful peace summit, Rudy.
I'm stunned to hear Don Scott would have direct feedback about Hawthorn.
I might have to give Don a call.
Now, let's move on. Last one, Tommy. The Dockers, they've invested heavily in Luke Jackson. Would they be starting to worry about that?
Well, you could argue they would have been better off chasing a dedicated four, but it's only 2 rounds in. So I'm not writing Luke Jackson off, Rudy, and I'm not writing Fremantle off, but there is some context to this. They're paying him up to $1 million a year. They poached him from Melbourne. He had 10 touches and didn't score in their loss against North, and had 12 touches and only kicked 2 points in the loss against St Kilda. So it has been a lean start, Rudy.
This is Tom Brown's News, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Hear it first on Listener.
Rudy, just briefly, some other nuggets going around or some other news points going around. Jack Steele, another blow. It's hard to believe St Kilda suffered another injury blow. You might have seen on the news last night that x-ray of his collarbone. He's having surgery on that today. That'll be 4 to 6 weeks. They'll put a pin in that. Nathan Broad being sent directly to the tribunal for that sling tackle over in Adelaide. That was judged careless, severe impact and high. It's gone sent straight to the tribunal, and I think they'll start from 3 weeks and work upwards on that. Just a little nugget on the front-on contact, which was a big discussion point last week, and that non-football type of bump. I get the strong impression just from my informal discussions over the weekend that the AFL will look at potentially banning that type of front-on bump where the player has already disposed of the ball in the future. There's a similar rule in the NRL, and I wouldn't be surprised if the AFL introduced that type of rule in the future, which would mitigate some of the discussion around whether it should be careless or intentional and how you grade it and all those types of things. So I think there's already that discussion going on behind the scenes at the league, and that could be one for the new footy boss when they hopefully get appointed at some stage this year. Rudy?
All right, Tommy, that just about does us for today, but a bit to look forward to round 3-wise.
Yeah, the Bulldogs without a win, under pressure, come up against the Lions this weekend. Collingwood and Richmond, there could be up to 90,000 fans there. Obviously, Richmond sweating on the fitness of guys like Dustin Martin, Jacob Hopper and Tom Lynch. Hawthorn and North, that's a bit of a grudge match down in Tasmania. Alistair Clarkson, undefeated against Sam Mitchell, who basically took Clarko's job. And the Saints and Essendon, that's Ross Lyon against Brad Scott, 2 undefeated star coaches, and your Cats need to have a win, Rudy. So lots of news this week and lots to look forward to in terms of this weekend's games coming up. I know it's only Monday, but it's worth noting that it's an incredible round of footy coming up.
It's also worth noting that you can stay across all of it on Triple M Footy. All the news, all the views. We'll see you next time.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.